The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, for the only time in this campaign, the three leaders of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin went head-to-head last night in the primetime leaders' debate. But nothing quite took off, despite many predicting it could be a key to the campaign. We'll talk about the debate with Sean Defoe and Sarah McGuinness shortly. But first, a look back at some of the less tedious moments from the debate.
I mean, we all remember Sinn Féin's proposals on the energy crisis in the height of it. It was the exact same as Liz Truss's response in the United Kingdom. Saw what happened with Liz Truss's policies. It nearly blew the British economy and caused a huge panic. Thanks be to God we didn't take Sinn Féin's proposals at the time.
And we should certainly learn from the crash, a crash that was instigated and driven by yourself, Micheál. You were in government at the time in Fianna Fáil. You brought the crash. You brought austerity. And I will agree with you on this much.
We led people out of the crash.
And I will agree with you on this much, Simon. There are people watching this programme who still bear the scars of your crash and of your austerity.
If there is this transatlantic crash, what would go in your promises? What would be the... I want a specific here for people at home. What would be the first thing that you would say we can't deliver if we need to rein in our spending?
Well, can I just say...
No, can you just give me a specific? I'm going to ask the other three as well.
Well, I'm not... I'll tell you what we're not going to do.
No, tell me what you would
answer
do.
The question,
We are not going to impose austerity on people.
Maybe I need to be clearer. Is if we do have to rein in our spending, what would be one thing? What would be the one thing you wouldn't do to try and save money?
I can't, everything that's in our manifesto are things that need to be done. It's around housing. It's around child care. It's around the basics. But
what if the 10 billion goes in the morning or 15 billion goes? What would you do then?
Hold on a second.
Just be truthful.
Hold on a second. I am being actually extremely truthful.
Better answer.
Of course.
The manifesto that we have set out is on the basis of 24 billion euros of a surplus now, Miriam. That's real money.
But I do have to say one thing in relation to the economy. Now is not the time to run this country on the national credit card. It is not the time.
But yet, no bank has said that they would definitely lend to that scheme.
Well, we've engaged with the banks. The banks have requirements that will have to be met. I don't think anybody should be shocked by that. They're not some kind of Robin Hood institutions giving money away. I'd just say on the housing issue.
Just before you move on, and I will let you make the point, but you say you're absolutely confident. The Banking Payments Federation said just last week that they have identified a number of issues that require further consultation. That wouldn't fill most people with confidence.
Well, look, the requirements that they have set out, we have heard loud and clear, and it's about security, it's about securing the asset. We get that.
We're committing that there'll be at least an extra 5 billion in health spending, Micheál Martin, over the next 5 years. That will enable us to employ roughly the same number of additional nurses and doctors that we have in the last 5 years.
You've had an embargo in place.
It's very clear to see where the investment is. But the difference between our manifesto and other manifestos, I don't think it's a laughing matter, Deputy McDonald.
I don't think
it's a laughing matter. I really don't, because, like, firstly on housing, you couldn't tell us how you're going to fix it. Now on health, you're just laughing and sniggering at a very important issue.
I am sniggering at nothing. I am aghast.
A little bit better.
The brass iron neck that you're demonstrating.
It deserves a little bit more
flippancy. Your allocation, both of you, in the last budget for mental health, what was it? Tell the viewers what you allocated.
We have provided a health budget of over 26 billion.
It was derisory.
It was derisory.
I'm making this proposition.
Very clear.
I'm making the proposition that after a century of Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Oh, here we go. You're rolling out the five-year-old
line.
You can do better than that. 5 years.
People,
I think there'll be many
safe.
Garda families at home finding it quite sickening that Mary Lou MacDonald is now the champion of an Garda Síochána. That's the first thing. I'm not ready to take a lecture from you on law and order.
No,
my party's never collected a TD. My party has never had a TD who's collected a Garda killer from the gates of prison. First point. And what I'm asking people in this election to do is to go out, of course, vote Fine Gael. I'll vote for the Fine Gael tickets. But I'm then asking them to consider transferring their votes to other centrist parties so we can have a stable government that can hit the ground running.
Could I just say an important point? There were other political parties over that 100 years as well. There was multi-party governments. The Irish Labour Party were there from the very beginning of the state and played a noble role in its contribution to the formation and development of the Irish state.
A collection of moments from the primetime leaders' debate last evening. I'm joined in studio by Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, and also by Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent of the Irish Daily Mail. So good morning and welcome.
Morning.
And you both look a bit bleary-eyed. stayed up late to watch this. What did you think, Sarah?
Oh, God, it was a bit boring, wasn't it?
It was some of your life you'll never get back.
Some of my, honestly, do you know when Richard, at least when Richard Boyd Barrett walked out of the last debate, he was kind of like, how did anyone stay up for that? But there was no kind of atmosphere around that this time. It was kind of just like everyone let out a collective sigh. But yeah, nothing really took off. It felt like everyone was playing it very safe because there were, you know, we're 2 days out from polling, you know, like if not even. And, you know, like there isn't really time that if a massive blunder was made to recoup from that, you know, there just wasn't the time. So it felt like everyone was playing it very safe so that, you know, they kind of tried to say as little as possible while taking up the most amount of screen time. But in the process of doing that, we missed out on the kind of actual searing debate. You know, we didn't, there was no actual debate.
I'll come back to you about debate in a moment, but your overall reaction, Sean, first of all.
It's sort of a microcosm of the campaign, isn't it? It just never really took off.
Now, you were saying all day yesterday, this could be the most,
could be the biggest, it could be the most consequential, and I was totally wrong. Like, it was teed up to be this fantastic debate where things are so tight, Harris on the back foot, Sinn Féin trying to surge again and all that sort of stuff. And in the end, like Sarah said, they were all so conscious of making a mistake that they never really went for it, and it never really lit up. I thought Micheál Martin in particular probably shaded it as the best on a maybe, you know, three-way draw nearly, but he stood back a lot. He was very much letting the game come to him.
And he kept on saying, this is a very serious question which demands a serious answer.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get into silly stuff.
Don't be interrupting me like this, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And sort of standing back and letting it come and sort of trying not to make a mistake, and probably didn't have to deal with as hard questions because Fianna Fáil has just had a calmer campaign. He didn't have, like, Harris's night was bookended by the Kanturk incident at one end and then John McGahan on the other end with a bit of Michael O'Leary in the middle. Mary Lou McDonald had all the controversies around her own party to deal with. Whereas Micheál Martin, when they came to him, it was sort of like, you don't have a controversy, so what do you think about this instead?
And his primary focus was to not be grumpy or tetchy, as Simon Harris accused him at one point of veering into that territory.
Elder statesman rather than grumpy statesman.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it is a visual medium. So therefore, you notice things like, for example, when Micheál Martin is speaking, he has a kind of a twist to his lips, which is, you know, always catches my eye. I don't know whether any of those kind of tics. For example, in the first debate with Katie Hannan, her index finger kept crawling into the shot as she was talking to the people next to her. The finger became the star of the show for me, and just waiting for it to come in. So you have to be kind of conscious of these things in a visual medium. So anything catch your eyes?
There's one frame in particular, I can't remember what part of the debate it was, but Mary Lou McDonald was sort of on the defensive on some issue from the presenters who were going at her, and Simon Harris was trying to put his hand up like the boy in school trying to get in a point, and Micheál Martin was sort of, like you say, sitting back just smirking and enjoying it all and watching it unfold. And I thought that was kind of a microcosm of the night, where Harris was trying to get in and trying to make it a debate and trying to have his rebuttal and was just ended up muttering kind of under mic.
I was going to say he did a lot of muttering. Like, you could kind of see him trying to respond a lot of the time, but not really cutting through. Like, because he didn't really have anything
to say. I think the manner of his interjections, because he speaks very fast. So it's a bit Garrett Fitzgerald like, if you can recall the way Garrett would talk. It was kind of like a buzzsaw. going in. And if you're going to interject, you really have to be much more assertive in that interjection to be heard.
And he also is very guilty of, so I say guilty, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but he's also very guilty of, like his party colleague Pascal Donoghue, of, that's a great question, thank you so much, that's a brilliant question, thank you so much, in the 7 months since I've become Taoiseach. They kind of always fall into this like nearly appreciation of kind of like, yes, thank you for raising that point. And, you know, like, I don't know if it's to buy time for them to think of something. I think it is. I think with Pascal Donoghue anyway, it's something that is like a little bit of a tactical thing.
But you
also
get a sense of Simon Harris that he's well-raised little boy, do you know?
Yeah.
Like, manners was very big in his household.
When he's told to be quiet, he's like, yes, okay, I'm very sorry. All that sort of stuff. There was also one little thing like that. he referred to himself in the third person twice.
That was so
meanwhile, Martin
funny.
Referred to himself in the third person once. Mary Lou didn't do it. It's a pet peeve of mine. I hate when people do that. As people
Donald
tell me,
Trump does
Simon
it all the
say,
time.
I hate when people do it. I reiterate that. So that's just one of those things that really annoys me. And then Micheál Martin jumped onto the bandwagon and did it too.
Now, the question of why it wasn't a debate, and it really wasn't a debate, and it comes down to the format that they had. They had two moderators. Mm. And I think that was the big competition of the night. Who could ask the best questions? Who could be the best moderator? Mm. Rather than who was going to be the best leader of the country? Because I watched that thing from a professional perspective, watching how that was done. And I think that probably did inhibit the debate a bit.
Yeah, it was interesting the way they handled it. They seemed to have designated blocks, as in, Sarah, you'll do these 10 questions. Miriam, you'll do these 10 questions.
And if you use up my time...
Yeah. God
I'm
forbid
going to
you.
Use up yours the next time.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit American, wasn't it? It was a bit like the way the American presenters handle it, where they hand over and they hand over. But I did think it stifled the debate in that they didn't really let other people in. They wanted to get a very clear, hard answer on this question and this question only and nobody interrupt, which is a bit of a shame because I wanted to see them going at each other a bit more, the leaders.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think of that? Because the best debate I could have in this studio, for example, is where I say nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
And I let them at it, you know. Yeah. That's where it becomes, for me, I'm watching like a sentry waiting to jump in if I have to. But otherwise, I want the protagonists to have a right go at each other.
Yeah, completely. And like even Miriam Lord has a very funny column today in the Irish Times where she's kind of like talking about them almost hiding behind a desk after poor Katie Hannon trying to have to moderate 10 of them. It's kind of like they were saying like, right, no, like we'll keep them on the lead
and
this time.
Miriam Lord is saying, Katie had to deal with 10 and you had two people to deal with 3. I mean, how unfair was that on Katie Hannon?
Yeah, like it just, yeah, it was kind of a thing of like, and even, you know, like the moment of kind of Mary Lou McDonald, I know we're all kind of saying none of them landed really any punches, but if, you know, if, I don't know if it was just a culmination of the point that of time that's taken place in the campaign, the format of the debate, the kind of week that particularly Simon Harris has had. But if when Mary Lou McDonald is sitting in between the two of them and she's saying crash on one side, austerity on the other, that I would have expected fireworks to go on there. And I would have, if, you know, like you think that, I don't know, Pat, you might speak to that, like as a kind of moderator, you would just sit back and
absolutely,
let that unfold.
Let them at it.
Yeah.
But instead, the moderators were kind of like the fire brigade putting out the fires before the fires could erupt.
Yeah, to a degree. And now I appreciate it's probably a very tough job. And I can imagine that, you know, it's very pedantic, you know, politicians' interactions with RTE and other media outlets has been in focus in the last couple of days. So I can imagine RTE are probably getting it in the ear of kind of like you gave the opposition however many more seconds than us. I don't know if that is the case. Yeah. So I think they tried their best to be fair and firm, but perhaps it was a bit overkill at some times.
Yeah. And I mean, no one ever measures the quality of the contributions. You know, they just measure the minutes and the seconds. I'll read you some of the texts coming in. Undecideds all over the country must be feverishly checking out candidates who are not from any of the three political parties represented last night. A woeful waste of everybody's time. Next one, the leaders' debate wasn't a debate. It seemed more like an exam set by RTE moderators. Were RTE trying to win it for themselves? From Connor in Limerick. The leaders' debate was a joke. Another one says Mary Lou won hands down. Can anyone tell the difference between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil these days? When we are in a position where the two parties cozy up the whole time, what is the point of these elections other than moving the deck chairs? Very disheartening. I hated the sniping at each other. It's so childish. Just talk about what you're going to do without having a go at each other. That's from L. Thanks for the replay, Pat. It just reminded me that Mary Lou was busy telling us what they would not do. It would have helped had she told us what they would do and how to fund it. Sinn Féin, the same old song, It's Boring. That's from Jean. It wasn't a three-way debate. It was a 2v1 debate with FF and FG being so cautious not to have a dig at each other. That's from Sean in Westport.
Yeah.
Very poor debate. Presenters who allowed Harris too much time to not answer the questions asked. Mary Lou not knowing her own housing plan. I think Micheál Martin was the slightest winner, but poor presenters trying to be centre stage. That's from Alan. Moderators Sarah and Miriam were very poor. They let all three get away with not answering questions. Katie with 10 to handle was far better, according to Paul. The first question Simon Harris was asked related to the Kanturk incident. However, when it came to Mary Lou, she wasn't asked about the incident relating to one of her councillors in the north. Also the Brian Stanley controversy. That's from Paul in Sligo. And that was probably something that was tippy-toed round a bit.
A little bit. She did get asked more in general about the controversies in her party, but it didn't. They didn't go hammer and tongs. You could argue there were too many of them to go hammer and tongs at, that there's so many things to line up for her. But I think she did get a pretty robust questioning on the issues, and that's where she was weakest. When it actually got into policy, when it got into the housing end of things, what would you cut if suddenly the windfall billions dry up? That's where she probably fell down. Now, she was... had a good advantage, I think, in the positions of the podium. She was sort of in between the two of them, and a lot of the image of it, they were very close to her and both were looking down on her as a result. So these two men in suits looking
tall.
Down. Yeah, looking down on the woman in the middle. So there was definitely an element of that in there. She was okay. She got a few good lines in. The lines on the austerity, probably the best one out. She needs to retire Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like as Simon Harris was saying, she's been doing that for 5 years and some of the attachments felt tired.
The attack made by Simon Harris about the guard. The killer, you know, their TD coming to pick up the guard, the killer at the gates of Castlereagh Prison. They didn't really go hard on the heritage of Sinn Féin and their connection with the IRA and all of that. And the other day when I had Mary Lou in, I asked her about Say Nothing, the series on Disney Plus, which I suppose the timing of its release not very helpful to Sinn Féin. But today, again, it looks like the body of Joe Linsky, one of the disappeared, has been found.
Right.
You know, but they didn't actually mind that particular vein. I wonder, is that a decision on the part of the two parties?
I think it is, and it has been throughout the campaign, because what they found in 2020 was they ended up talking about Sinn Féin so much, almost like Donald Trump in 16. They gave them so much airtime that it gave them the advantage, and they've deliberately decided to go away from that. I actually thought that exchange on crime was the strongest of the whole debate from all three, in that Micheál Martin came in and made what is a pretty big statement for a Taoiseach to say the state lost control of the streets of Dublin during the Dublin riots, being an indirect attack at Helen McEntee as Justice Minister. Then Mary Lou came in and said, this is one of the rare areas where we agree, and defending her stance and calling for Helen McEntee to resign at the time. And then Harris came in with that clip that you heard a little bit earlier.
That moment and her attitude after the Dublin riots was seen as the beginning maybe of a slide for her party.
Yeah, and it was probably the biggest body blow that was landed on her last night when Simon Harris said, well, look, like you say about the prison, but also you held a press conference at a crime scene looking to make political advantage out of this, whereas we actually went on and we've dealt with it and done X, Y and Z since.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I think it was kind of interesting, though, like how Micheál Martin kind of phrased his criticisms, for example, because it was all kind of very subtly done, but like you would catch it as well. So like,
this is like on a football field where you get the sly elbow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they could have been elbowing each other. They were standing that close together. I was like, is that the purpose of it? Are they going to
Wasn't that very strange, the three of them side by side and then a gulf of space between the moderators and the three? I thought it was odd.
It was a weird layout. But anyway, so Micheál Martin kind of saying, as Sean said, that kind of thing of, you know, we lost control of the streets. But then also him kind of saying, at one point he kind of gently said to Simon, like, I'm trying to be fair here, but like your manifesto, I can't remember the term that he used, but he said something about like it wasn't fit for purpose in terms of recruitment numbers for the HSE. And it was nearly like he was breaking terrible news to him, but he was like, I'm really sorry to say, but like,
you know. The response was really interesting then, wasn't it, as well? Because Harris was like, well, I'm sure this is just a misinformation on your part that you don't actually mean that you're criticizing me here.
Now back to the optics. We had three leaders standing and, you know, someone who's smaller like Mary Lou, surrounded by two pillars, is put a kind of a visual disadvantage, although I don't think that played much in. But they were very close together. Had they been separate, it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, Kamala Harris and Trump, for example, you know, he is much, much taller than Kamala Harris. But the size thing didn't play in because they were very far apart. And then you had the presenters comfortably sitting in chairs.
Yeah.
Whereas the idea of a Miriam or a Sarah pacing the floor, kind of interrogating them, would have been much more effective, I think.
Yeah, like you say, the layout was just a bit weird. I would have maybe spaced them further apart, and then you have the two presenters standing like Katie was in the middle and being able to go across, because they couldn't even really look at each other. You could see when they were trying to listen to each other's points, they were doing the sort of side eyes. They couldn't even look them in the eye and say, well, that's nonsense, or hear them. So it was just a bit odd of a layout. It didn't contribute to the debate style, but maybe that's what they were going for, because they didn't really get into the debate style.
Can I bring up the fuchsia question? Do you know what I'm referring to?
I do know what you're referring to. So for anyone who didn't catch the debate last night, Miriam and Mary Lou showed up wearing the same colour. And rather than saying one of us has to change, they just decided to keep calm and carry on, I guess.
That was kind of a distraction, because the first thing when the show aired, Miriam was in this fuchsia trouser suit, which then half of it vanished when she sat behind the desk. But Mary Lou came in with a fuchsia cardigan, and they were a blazer. Was it?
It was blazer, kind of, yeah.
It was very fuchsia and the same fuchsia as Miriam's. Yeah. And it was a distraction, I thought.
And I suppose, like, you know, like it's like, you know, like Sarah and Miriam are usually so striking because they are most male politicians are far more common than female politicians. So mostly everyone is kind of wearing subdued suits of, like, you know, charcoal or navy.
I would think that the Kamala Harris uniform that she chose, different shades of dark, you know, brown or navy or black, and normally a white shirt, that worked well for her because it took the focus completely off fashion.
Mm. Yeah. And now, to be fair to Mary Lou, I don't think she like, you know, she doesn't ever really seem too concerned about what she is, you know.
No, and she wouldn't have a spare uniform with her, whereas a wardrobe department in RT would have spare uniforms for the presenter.
Could have changed there, yeah. I think... It didn't strike me too much last night when I was watching it, because when they were sitting, one, they were so far apart, as we've mentioned, but also Sarah McInerney was on the inside of it. So you caught the red before the fuchsia. But I thought the more standout image was Mary Lou and the two grey suits, was that very pointed point of difference.
Yeah. And that's the convenience for men. A dark suit, nice shirt, nice tie, and off you go.
Isn't it a bit? I think Micheál
Martin.
All
you need is a haircut, basically.
All you need is a good haircut. I think Micheál Martin basically has six of the same suit, almost the Barack Obama. Do you remember Barack Obama
just bought
the same suit and shirt over and over again, said it was 20 minutes out of my decision making in the morning?
Yeah.
And Micheál Martin has something the same. He has about two suits and two different shirts, one white and one blue, and a red tie and a blue tie. And he coordinates them. A capsule wardrobe, I believe,
is what the kids are calling it. Yeah. But people do pick up on things like that, even like when Donald Trump was elected into office a couple of weeks ago. Simon Harris was incidentally wearing a red tie that day and like a blue shirt, and it does catch people's eyes, I suppose. But in this case, I think it was more so just of an unfortunate coincidence. And
well, I always remember Angela Rippon, who a lot of younger people will only know from Strictly, but she was reading the news. She was a newscaster on BBC, and an earring fell off.
Oh.
And landed down her shirt.
Oh, no.
And for the rest of that bulletin, nobody listened to a word she said. They were all kind of imagining where the earring had gone.
Are we delighted to be on radio instead? The ease with which we have
it. We are on camera. We are streaming. Do not forget.
21st century.
Anyway, overall impact?
Negligible, I think. Look, if you're a floating voter, I can't imagine you're going towards any of them. Simon Harris steadied the ship a little bit for me. Micheál Martin probably edged and would be happy of them, but there was no disaster.
Sarah?
Inconsequential.
One word.
Yeah.
Damning. One word. All right. Thank you both very much for coming in this morning after a late night. Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, and Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.